We had a week off. And we had to have a week off because it was very, very busy. There was school. There was pre-Christmas. There was all sorts of things going on. And, yeah.
My birthday.
Happy birthday today. It's your birthday. You're legally allowed to play games.
I wasn't before.
What did you get for your birthday, Rufus?
Like I asked, you got me Splatoon 3, as and if like a few episodes ago we were talking about it. I didn't think you'd actually do it.
Yeah, I did. Splatoon 3.
And I mean, I could tell it was a Switch game. It was in that shape.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. So, does it live up to your expectations?
Yes.
It's good. Yeah, please expand on that.
I've only played it for like one day, maybe another episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's Splatoon. It looks a lot like Splatoon 2. Is there anything different?
Yeah, the style's different. I'll explain it in the next episode, okay?
The next episode. Okay.
You have to keep listening.
To be continued. Next week.
Well, you told me not to talk about it.
No, I did not.
You did. I was
anyway,
like...
Okay, anyway. Happy birthday, Rufus.
Yes.
Splatoon 3. Yippee.
Yippee.
Okay. You've also been playing a game with number 3 in it. You've been playing Goat Simulator 3.
Yes. It's something. Not that it's bad. It's really fun and random. I think it is similar to the original game. I didn't play the second one. I played the original. But it's like an open world. More open than last time. And like you can join your friends. I don't think you could do that last time. But like your friends can join.
You can do 4-player co-op as well, kind of, split screen. So
that gets chaotic.
Yeah, it would get very tiny, a bit like the old days of GoldenEye. So, but I don't really get the purpose of the Goat Simulator game.
Well, what's different? They have, like, quests in this one. You can do quests, and I think there is, the whole point of the campaign is that there is a boss at the end.
Hmm.
I think you should do quests and level up and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And it's a pretty big map, isn't it?
Yeah. You can turn into a shark.
Shark.
I did.
I had a go and I got into a little thingy that shrunk me down to a tiny, tiny insect-sized goat.
I figured out a Fallout Easter egg. You would like place a nuke on one section of the town, and then you get the Fallout outfit, and then when you would go in there, it would go all like blurry and stuff.
I mean, they're very imaginative, definitely. You know, there's a lot going on, and it seems that it's a huge world, and it has to be said, the cars handle better than some games with cars in.
Yeah.
So even with the goat driving them.
It's just one of those really random games. It's like random but needed. It's fun. It's the fact
it's a good switch off, mess about, not really think too hard game.
It's a game you play when you don't know what to play.
Yeah, and I guess watching you and Harvey playing it, it's just a sandbox, you know.
You
can do stupid stuff.
Use humans as bowling balls.
Yeah, and just smash crap up. There's so many little nooks and crannies and things you can find and randomly just do that you just think, how on earth did they storyboard this? What did they do to come up with these ideas?
Well, they probably had like a big, like, I don't know, something.
It's like, wouldn't it be great if we had a chipping machine that you could shrink people down? And yeah, we'll do that. And then you've got to climb up on top of this caravan and jump into something else. And, you know, you go through a bowling alley and get sucked down to the roof.
It is kind of a collecting game. You do, like, collect stuff.
Yeah, it's just pretty crazy. I don't like the jumping aspect very much.
You're a goat. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, but the mechanics of jumping...
Yeah, because the whole point is you're like a ragdoll goat. You're like a goat.
But it's just a hop. It kind of just blur.
You know, like, you can bunny hop if you keep jumping and like...
So yeah, yeah, I've done that. But if I want to jump to a specific height onto something, like the roof of a van, I can't seem to be able to jump the way my brain wants to jump. It kind of just flops.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I like... Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, the whole point of it is to, like, there's, you know, ramp humans over, find secrets. Apparently, I didn't know this till today when my friends told me, you can unlock a first-person mode.
That's pretty, yeah. I mean, that could be a bit nauseating. The way the movement, the way you run around.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun and it's crazy. I like the way you can stick your tongue to things and drag them around.
Yeah, that's in all the other games.
Really weird. But yeah, no, I don't like the jumping. And, you know, like, you've seen goats. Goats can climb up the face of a mountain when there's nothing to stand on.
You can.
But you can't just seem to do it naturally in this.
Well, I do.
Well, no, I've seen you kind of jump into a tree and fall out.
I don't think you're a professional.
I'm not a professional ghost simulator player. Sadly. I don't think there's an eSport movie.
Well, me and my friends were playing it today, and we found out that we all went to the ocean, and then a big whale ate us, and we're like in this big like town inside a whale.
Who comes up with this shit?
It's amazing. It was like a whole like city inside a whale. We didn't know how to get out.
Oh my god, that's pretty epic.
Yeah. And then we're like, they're just giraffes jumping around because we were all giraffes because we unlocked the giraffe.
I think it's just a manic. It's a party game. It's for people that.
Well, this one's a party game. The other one was just single player. This one's party.
Mm. Okay. So
it's got good.
To coin a phrase, it's got legs.
Ha ha.
Well, I guess, yeah. It looks to me like the kind of thing that you would keep on tap. And just mess around with them while you're waiting for something else to download.
That's what I would do with it. Yeah. It's like you can just not play it for months and then come back and you still have fun.
And it's not the kind of thing that you really want to sit down and bash through for hours.
Grind all the achievements and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's just keep in your back pocket and play as and when.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty cool though.
It is pretty cool.
Mm.
The map is really... In the older game, you'd have different like regions and like DLCs to unlock. This one, it's just one big map.
Oh, and we did get a nice little bag of goodies from PlayOn as well, which was nice. Which was, I got a little toy screaming goat, which now is screaming on my desk at work. And
I got a keychain.
You got the cheap keychain. There was an inflatable beach ball.
There's a bag.
And a bag. And
the bag
cool.
was nice.
Yes, I got some looks with the bag when I used it at the weekend.
You used it?
No, shopping.
I wasn't there.
No, you weren't, because I was doing secret shopping.
And I was playing Overwatch. No, yeah. I was at Nan and Granny's house, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was I doing there?
Having the time.
We had spaghetti. I guessed it.
It did. Okay, so that's Ghost Simulator 3.
It's good. It's worth it. Did we get a code for it, or was it in Game Pass?
No, it was a code.
Okay.
Yeah, which was good. Which is why, you know... That's kind of a review. So we don't do scores, but you like it and you would play it again.
I would play it again, yeah.
You are.
It's not something I would play by myself. It's more something I would play with people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yeah, it's handy.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool. Christmas is coming.
Yes.
And So...
We wish you a merry
Christmas. Violent Night.
I didn't get to watch it.
You didn't get to watch it.
Because I'm a minor.
You're a minor. You're not old enough. And
I wish I was. It looked really good.
I would let you watch it because, you know...
I watched Die Hard.
You've seen worse. But I don't think legally I would be able to
smuggle
you into the event cinemas.
Was it good? Let's hear about it.
It was fun. Now, it's a really cheesy movie in terms of a Christmas movie. It's a really silly movie in terms of a Christmas movie.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea, and it's violent. And there are some really, really gruesome, odd things and some real belly laughs. And, yeah, there was kind of, you know, 10 people in the cinema, and we were all, like, laughing out loud at the same time. Which was
so would you say time. It's almost like if Die Hard was more of a Christmas movie? Not saying it isn't, but more Christmassy.
Die Hard is the ultimate Christmas movie.
It is. It is the best. It's the top-tier Christmas movie.
Violent Night's kind of up there in the top five, I'd say. It's a cheesy, silly movie, but the whole, like, David Harbour as, like, a really sort of miserable, depressed, alcoholic, cookie-stealing, had-enough-of-Christmas Santa is the best casting I've ever seen.
Why did I want to watch it. It comes on Netflix after Christmas, which is stupid.
That's fine, because you'll just watch it on repeat. But it's great fun. And so he starts off and he's had enough of Christmas. And kids, as we know, you and me, kids don't appreciate Christmas. They don't appreciate their gifts. And he's kind of going to these houses and all these kids are like, oh, I just want money and I want video game. Mm. And he's like, what about Christmas? And where's the spirit of Christmas?
Also, it's not really about the Christmas story. It's just there. The story is
kind of... Yeah, the story is just there. I mean, yeah, like I say, he's kind of just, he's fed up with it. He ends up going to this rich house in somewhere in the middle of America. This is where the story all kind of starts and kicks off.
Why does all this stuff happen in America?
Oh, well the opening scene is supposedly in Bristol in England. Now,
No, I mean, in general, why are all movies in America?
They're not, but, you know, it's what I'm trying to say is this aspect of this Santa adventure is in America, and it's some way through the Christmas Eve, and he's... What I was trying to say was he starts off in a Bristol bar, which is so obviously not a Bristol pub. It looks like a dingy downstairs bar in, like, New York or, you know, Toronto or something, supposedly in England. He has a few drinks, and then he goes off to America, and it's halfway through the night, and he goes to this big mansion in the country. And while he's there, he kind of just gets waylaid, and then there's these guys that come and break into the house, and they're trying to steal a load of money, and that's where it becomes a bit of a diehard movie. And he reluctantly gets stuck in and, you know, saves Christmas because of the chirpy little teenager that's helping him on the radio. And it's great, and it's just... What's absurdly violent.
What is the best death in the whole movie?
My favourite death? Well, it's got to be the bad guy at the end, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's a chimney involved, and I thought it was hilarious. And there's just some of the really good laugh-out-loud moments, and there's kind of those nods to, you know, Die Hard is mentioned as somebody's present, and there's also some very Home Alone moments where you start watching it and you think, oh, God. This is Home Alone type stuff, but it's better. Supremely violent Home Alone, and people actually do get hurt, which is great.
So, in Home Alone, the burglars never get, like, any injuries.
No, this is like, you know, 20 or 30 guys get taken to pieces. So
that's good.
You know, this is, it just hits the spot.
Good content.
It's a great idea. It's, you know, I guess it was a bad sell at the start. Like I say, the best casting. He makes the movie, and this kind of alcoholic, depressed Santa Claus that comes good makes it worthwhile.
Because the actor looks like Santa. He looks like him.
That's why it's called acting, really.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I definitely recommend it if you're bored. And
if I was allowed to watch it.
You'll be watching it soon. It's fine.
In January?
Yeah, in January. You're looking for counting down the months to Christmas 23.
No waiting for the new PSVR to come.
Yeah. Yes, work on that one. So that was movie watch, Violent Night. Thumbs up from me.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had a thumbs up, but I can't because I haven't watched it.
Yeah, well, let's save the indignancy. So, and I have been playing a little game called Midnight Suns.
I played like one game of it.
You tried the first level, I think.
I finished it for you.
You did finish it for me. So Midnight Suns is a Marvel spin-off story. Now, when they first announced it, I saw the cast and I thought, okay, it's a slightly strategy game. It's made by the guys that made XCOM, so, you know, it's got to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it's turn-based, and it started to spin out that it was cards. So what I find really strange is... You're in a very small playing field generally, and you get these cards, which is what you can do in your turn, which kind of makes sense because they're superheroes and you want them to be able to use a power here and not use a power there. But I've really kind of missed the whole XCOM thing where you're planning out, you know, I'm going to run this guy over there and crouch behind the corner. I'm going to move over here. I'm going to sweep around the
map. I mean, I didn't find it that bad. I thought it was interesting, the whole card mechanic.
Ooh. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not the game that I would have wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You know, like Marvel Ultimate Alliance is an action game where you've got all these superheroes doing all this stuff. You could very much do a Marvel Ultimate Alliance type game with a turn-based setup.
Was Marvel Ultimate Alliance, what was that on?
Oh, a long time ago. PS3. You know, like that's ages ago. But this is very, very story-driven. Big red flag for me. And there is, my God, there is a narrative for Africa. It's just, there is just so much conversation. It's like, they're trying to appeal to the JRPG market. And it's just, you know, there is just conversation after conversation. And it's all completely unnecessary.
Can you skip it?
You can skip it. I mean, I'm skipping it like a mofo. Right? You know, like you press circle, you hammer the circle button to go through every conversation. In between missions, you end up having to go and talk to a half a dozen people, and it's as boring as crap. And it's all very touchy-feely. And it's like, oh, you can join this chess club and come and sit with us in the garden. And then, you know, you might get a few points to go towards your character. Oh, I don't want that.
You just want to play the game.
I want to play the game. It's a let's play games. Let's stop.
Is it forcing you into the story?
I don't even know if it's a story because I'm not paying any attention. Admittedly, I've button-mushed myself into a corner because I got to the point now where there's a supposedly a glowing thing on the map, but I can't find it, and I don't know why.
Maybe because you skipped every single cutscene in the whole game.
I don't
game.
Know what the fuck I'm doing, because I don't know who I should have spoken to last and what I should be doing next.
You skipped all the cutscene!
This is very much... There's a Viva La Dirt League video like this, and it's great. It's like, skip, skip, skip.
I've seen it, yeah. Is it the speedrunner one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's 100% that. So now I'm in this... There's a hub world called the Abbey, which is like a world between worlds church, where all the characters hang out, and there's loads of empty rooms, so you're going to get more characters, and then they'll move in, and then you've got to talk to even more people.
And then you're just skipping all of it. And you go, what do I do now?
Developers, there is nothing wrong with just giving me a shitload list of missions. I go and do a mission.
With no dialogue.
I don't need dialogue. You give me a mission, I do the mission. I do a mission, it still can be the same thing. I can stop the helicopter from taking off. You can give me some rewards. You can make a new character available. You can make some new skills. I don't need...
But then, you don't want it to be like a mobile game.
Well, it kind of looks like a mobile game. So maybe Midnight Suns began as a mobile game or a service game, and now it's ended up on consoles because it got too big and there was too much fucking dialogue. But it's just like,
why? Did it have the story just from the dialogue?
Yeah, it's 100%. And it's just, and it branches, and you've got to go through this conversation. And I don't care.
You want to play the game. You want to play the game.
And even just doing a mission, right? Let's go on a mission. So we go to the mission table, and then we look at the table, and we pick which mission we're going to go. And you've still got to walk out the house, go down the road, and jump through a portal off a cliff. I was like, I don't want to do that. I just... Mission what they, X, start the mission.
It should just be beginning cutscene, storyline, and then all it is, it's just back-to-back missions.
Classic XCOM. Like, you know, that's what it should be.
I mean, and it should be like cutscenes, but just like, you know, some dialogue.
Cutscenes that are skippable. But just give me, right, this is a message to FireAxe because I know they're listening. This is just give me a list of missions to play. If you really, 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 really want to have all that dialogue and pickups and searching and wandering around the gardens and, you know, just bashing down
walls.
Make
it a separate game.
Don't make it a separate game. Put a setting in the menu, in the options, and say, if you don't want to do all that, turn it off. Bang. Done. Cater for everybody. I don't care if we miss out on a couple of trophies. What I care about is wasting 50 hours randomly talking to really badly written narrative. And the other thing is, like, Doctor Strange and Iron Man are like teenage dickheads. Oh my God. They're like, oh, they're just really stupid, stupid comments. They're so badly written. It's like, who wrote these people? Why did they write them?
How do they sound? Do they actually sound like teenagers?
Yeah. Like, look at the source material. You know, like, you've got so many decades of Marvel source material. You've got all the movies that everybody's familiar with, and they've taken...
Can't they just make it like an Iron Man game or something?
They've just taken the Tony Stark that the world knows and loves, dialed him back about 35 years to an like 18-year-old, and make him talk like a Wally. And it's just... It really grates you.
I feel so, like all the recent Marvel games, they need to just stop all this and just make... Like these Spider-Man games, right?
Hmm.
They were a hit because they were, you know, good open-world RPG games.
Uh-huh.
They need to, you know, stop with all this extra story. They need to get to main story stuff that's actually important people care about.
And it's funny enough, right? So, as we get back to the actual crux of them, so forget the story, painful story. There's probably a story there, but I don't care about story.
Just make a movie about it.
Get rid of the dialogue. Okay, this is a huge game. I can't believe that people have put reviews out because one of the guys, so Dylan and Guy are going to be doing the write-up on this. Dylan's put in, you know, like 25 hours. He's done two missions in the story. He's done a load of side missions. I don't know if he's reading all the text, but Jesus, it's taking forever. So this is a massive game. People are putting, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours into it.
And most was dialogue.
The roster of characters is really big. Now, initially, I thought, when I first saw the promos last year, I kind of got the impression that it was kind of Dark Avengers type stuff. And it was, you know, you had Ghost Rider and you had Blade. And it was like, oh, these are interesting characters. Now it just seems to be spinning out to everybody with a multitude of costumes and everything. You start off with, you know, like an option from Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel and, you know, like, it's all well and good.
Can you choose who goes to the mission?
You can. And then there's character progression depending on what they are. So you get a different card and you can combine cards so you make the spells more powerful. But you still end up using the same two or three things over and over again.
Again, this sounds like a mobile game.
There's some really great environmental stuff. So, you know, like you've got like the grunts come in and you can use some skills to hit one and throw them into another one or get a rock to throw against them.
See, I mean, when I played my first run, I did stuff like that and yeah. It was fun.
It's intuitive and it's fun. So the strategy aspect is snappy. It's good and it's quick to play. It feels so much like a mobile game, but it is kind of addictive. And that's all I want
is less dialogue.
That bit. I just want that bit. But there is no way in any park it's anything related to the type of turn-based strategy that is, you know, Blazer Squad, XCOM, you know, Terraform.
You think if they just had the game and took most of the cutscenes and all that walking around and stuff,
oh, God,
it'd be way better. Let's just...
I don't want to explore the gardens.
Cut the crap and just play the game.
Cut the crap. Yep, just play. And this is...
Or just make it a side mission. Just make it side missions.
This 100% dials back to God of War as well. It's like...
Oh, don't.
No, it's like people are so involved in the narrative. I don't care if you're going to play a game, play a game. Really just, yeah, play the game. Vampire Survivors was so good because... You're in a gameplay loop and you just wanted to keep playing.
Okay, before you go on, should we just say God of War Ragnarok so you don't mean all the God of War games?
I probably do mean all the God of Wars.
Oh my gosh.
But this is what struck me the other day, okay? So this goes back to my thing where I said, hey, let's have a game engine that can be third person, first person, real time strategy, turn based strategy. And it hit me. So you go into an encounter with Midnight Suns and you've got, you know, your three heroes and then four guys turn up and you start fighting them, take a couple down, four more guys turn up and then four more guys turn up. And I thought, hang on, this is God of War. And then I thought, if I had my way and you had my turn-based strategy engine in God of War, I would enjoy God of War.
I mean, it'd be a good turn-based strategy game, wouldn't it?
Because you'd be like, okay, so I've got... You know, Kratos here and Atreus over there, and I'm going to move him over here, and he's going to use his snapshot bow skill.
I've seen a lot of clips of kills in God of War where it's Atreus and like Kratos working together, right? So a turn-based strategy game would be more useful. You would have a system like Midnight Suns.
Like Midnight Suns, well, it'd be like XCOM. So you'd be like, okay, so I've got Kratos here. I'm going to move him over here. He's going to use that attack, and then he's going to use this skill to do that one. He's going to do that one. Then it's their turn, and they move. I could enjoy that.
I would play it. It sounds amazing.
You see, that to me would be the best way to play God of War. I don't want all this button mashing shit.
It would be an excellent turn based game, like, but add like lots of campaign to it, like a God of War game, and then just make it turn based.
Yeah. Now here's the funny thing. So. Firaxis revamped XCOM. Then they made XCOM 2, which was spectacular. And that was absolutely superb. I wish they'd used the same kind of engine for this. Because if you had these heroes in bigger play fields where you could be a bit more strategic and use the elevation and use buildings and destroy shit, it would be so much more fun.
Yeah.
It is it's a lot of fun as it is, but that could be so much more. And then it was funny, I did send out a little clip. Because when you're in the Abbey, the TV's playing, and it's just randomly showing these clips of, like, Wild West pictures. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they're working on a turn-based Wild West game.
Oh!
And that would be absolutely spectacular. Because, you know, you're just imagining a Wild West layout, Wild West towns, and then you've got that kind of XCOM feel where you'd have, you know, your cowboys... You know, crouching and running around in the shadows and doing snapshots and quick draws and skills and throwing. My mind was blown because I just, that's a space that I'm really happy to play in. And I remember a long, long time ago, this is back on my Amiga 1200. So, you know, Jesus, I was like 30 years ago. when the precursor to XCOM was UFO Enemy Unknown, and it was made by MicroProse back then, and it was just epic because it was that whole turn-based thing. But there was a mission where my team was pinned down by a lone alien sniper in a building. And it took me 3 hours to get two guys across this field.
Why is there alien sniper?
Because it's an alien game. It's like you're an alien defense league and you've got a... it's such a good game. It's like you build up this base of guys and then, you know, you're picking up weapons and you're developing sciences and, you know, new weapons and skills. But the more experience you get, the better you get to move around. And back then, it was groundbreaking. So, you know, you're kind of creeping around and throwing grenades and blowing up buildings and stuff. But there was an alien sniper picking my team off. And it was the most heart-wrenching
tactical thing.
And also because, you know, there's a thing called Iron Man mode where you play Iron Man, you lose your characters. They're gone. You can't load the save. So, you know, you have this team that you become attached to. And you're building them up, and it's like, oh, you know, Rufus was level 13, and he got all these skills, but he died.
Oh, so it's just, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, gone. So the sense of loss is superb. So anyway, so that was, like, I have an experience, which is a long time ago in an XCOM game, and then I was watching this thing in Midnight Suns, and I was more excited about the stuff that was on the TV, thinking, my God, I should be talking to all these people about their chess club or whatever it is, but I couldn't care less, because... what if Firaxis are making a Wild West turn-based strategy game?
And it's an Easter egg.
That would be just the most amazing thing ever.
I mean, it might happen.
It might happen. They will answer. They will answer the call. And if they don't do that, they better be doing Terror from the Deep, because we need an XCOM 3.
Anyway, so what is your final thought on Midnight Suns?
Midnight Suns, it's the engine is fun. It's a very limited play field. I kind of like it. You know, the characters we all know and love. The skills are great. Sometimes you just use stuff because you don't really know what it's going to do. But, you know, that's 25-30% of it. The rest of it, the walking around the Abbey, her world, talking to people incessantly, collecting shit. The leveling up's confusing. It's just, you know, I find the beating heart is great. The body just doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's Midnight Suns for me. But, you know, there's been worse games this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. So it's probably worth mentioning as well. We've changed our setup a bit. So we're using one mic today, which is the JBL Stream mic, Quantum Stream. The reason for that is previous episodes, we've had this terrible hum in the background, and we think it was to do with the EPOS mic, because the EPOS mic was so good, it was picking up...
so good it's bad.
So good it's bad. And it was picking up the hum of the computer that's sitting on the desk. And we weren't quite sure on the gain settings. So we're just going to try this as a single track, and we'll see how we go. But I think it's going to be better. Which is a shame, because I like the EPOS mic.
We can use it for other stuff.
It's chunky and sexy. Yeah, we can use it for other stuff. But I think at the moment, we're still experimenting, but I think this is the way to go.
Yeah.
So hopefully we sound a lot better.
Yeah, hopefully.
So anything else exciting in your world, Rufy?
This isn't really exciting, but I found this little Easter egg kind of thing. So I was playing Overwatch, right?
Mm.
And then you're like... home base, like before the game starts, I was looking at the computers, and do you remember, like, Blizzard made a card game called Hearthstone?
Yes.
On the computer was playing Hearthstone. And I looked at it to make sure, and it works. I used to play it, and it was the exact same. It was a cool little reference.
Cause I love it when they do stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway, cool. Game Awards.
Oh, Game Awards. So last week was the Game Awards, big time in the calendar. And I think... More important than the Oscars, especially for some people. I mean, there is a hell of a lot going on. We'll go straight in at the top. Game of the Year, Elden Ring.
Expected.
You can't fight it. I think I probably spent 3 or 4 months playing that earlier in the year.
I think it could have been God of War, just it came out a little later.
No. Elden Ring was rock solid.
You played it for ages.
It's got variety. It challenged you. It had so many different options. Like even the first area, you follow your nose and go outside and get your ass kicked and start learning how to play Elden Ring. Or you could jump off a ledge, run through some poison, and then find yourself in a whole dungeon that was there without you even knowing about it. You know, there's a whole tomb to explore.
The amount of times you died on it.
That's the whole point. But I mean, FromSoft games have historically been very, very challenging. And I very much, you know, I hate boss fights. 9 times out of 10, I would get so far with them and then just die and give up. Elden Ring kept me going. And because we've said before, you had the choice. The character development was superb. I did manage to get very early on a Dragon Breath, which rotted things, which was awesome because I could just stand down a tunnel and breathe down the tunnel and everybody would die.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Which is why I leveled up better than I would have normally. There were so many interesting little interactions and treasures around the place. It was 100% game of the year.
Yeah. What is player's voice? Like, what does it mean, basically?
Not entirely sure what that is. I mean,
it's from Genshin Impact. That I already know that. It's like RPG game.
Unless that was like a person, you know, like a crowd decision.
Well, no, it's a popular game. Makes sense. Mobile game, Marvel Snap. I do not agree. I tried Marvel Snap. I did not enjoy.
Did you? I don't play mobile games, so I wouldn't know.
And it came out like pretty like recently. I don't see why.
Well, I mean, look at this. I mean, ongoing game, Final Fantasy, community support, Final Fantasy. I get it.
Final Fantasy is a lot of games.
They've been around forever. I mean, I never played them way back in the 80s. I still haven't. I just don't really, I don't see the appeal of
franchise. I'm surprised they're still going. It's still going.
Anticipated game, Zelda. You're excited about that.
I am.
May is not very far away.
Esports game, Valorant. I already know. I kind of expected that. That's
you played that?
No, I don't. I know what it is though.
Okay.
It's like imagine if you mixed Overwatch, but it's like really competitive.
Mm.
Not that Overwatch isn't competitive, but still, this makes sense. Esports players play this game a lot.
Okay, I would have thought Overwatch would have got in there.
Maybe, but Overwatch 2, and it was, people said it was, some people didn't like it, a lot of people did enjoy it though, but Valorant makes sense because it's an esports game.
Okay.
Multiplayer game.
Multiplayer game, Splatoon 3.
I'm very happy about that.
Rufus's birthday present.
Very happy.
It feels like it only came out yesterday.
But it's good. It's, right. I waited like 5 years for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it, I mean, what's the lobbies like? Is it straight in? Is it pretty quick?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, in the recent games, all it would be is you would just load in and you would take ages. In the new one, when you're waiting for your lobby, you can go on like a training thing.
Hmm.
And you just kind of wait.
I mean, I am still putting a lot of hours into Call of Duty and I even just doing the daily challenges.
Well, I'm going to start grinding Splatoon 3 because what happens is they do this new thing called catalog, which means like you level up and get like a free item or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to grind that out. I just hope they don't like after a year just stop putting stuff into it.
Oh, I think they'll support it. Yeah, they're pretty invested.
Yeah.
Content creator of the year.
Ludwig, yeah. Ludwig. He's a popular streamer.
Is he?
Yeah.
We didn't go looking?
Well, I don't watch him, but I know who he is.
Okay. But, you know, like nobody came to us. Who's this Ludwig? Whatever. This is content. We're creating content.
We're going to offend a lot of people. No, he's...
A lot of people. Okay. Let's just go back to the fact that we had a week off. And our last episode had 4 downloads.
Yes!
4!
Yes, 4!
Yeah, you got to pump those numbers, people.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, best adaptation, Arcane.
That makes sense because they made it a game and a show. I mean, they did it for Cyberpunk as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know what that is.
But... Oh, League of Legends.
Okay.
Arcane was a show. Kirby was family game.
Family game.
Well, Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Nintendo Sports. Family game?
I thought it would be that. It was hyped up. I thought it would be. Mm. But then that came out last year, didn't it?
Esports player Jacob Whiteacre.
Don't know that is.
Narrative, God of War, Ragnarok.
No, for narrative, I think it would have probably got it because the narrative is very...
Why does this have to be... Okay.
Don't...
Yeah, I mean, Elden Ring narrative, pretty non-existent. They say that the Game of Thrones guy wrote his ass off. But it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just, it's a bad dream.
I just think God of War did deserve narrative.
Oh, I don't...
You know, I get it. You don't like the gameplay, but the narrative probably did deserve it.
I don't like the narrative. It's really bad. Spakurin is boring as shit.
Okay. So, role-playing game, Elden Ring.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, is it a role-playing game or is it an action RPG? It's...
Both.
I wouldn't call it a role-playing game.
You're not really playing a role.
Yeah, The Witcher's a role-playing
You're game. Making a role.
Cyberpunk's a role-playing game.
It is. Yeah. Why did Cyberpunk not get it? I just realised that because...
Well, technically it's this 12 months, isn't it?
Yeah, but they got a big update.
Hmm. There are other role-playing games. Performance, Christopher Judge. Now, you know, very stoically wandering around in God of War, looking like, you know, the tree man from Lord of the Rings, Twin Towers. Fair racing enough, game. You know, whatever. But racing game, Gran Turismo. Yeah, you know.
There are some other games out there.
It technically is very good. I mean, I would have thought the Rally one would have come in late with that. You know, there's a lot more feel there. Fighting game, Multiverses. No. Now, you're pretty passionate about this.
Okay, no, I don't hate Multiverses. I just think there is other games that probably would have got that role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't list them, but I know there was probably another fighting game.
This time next year, it'll be Street Fighter, mark my words. Because the new Street Fighter feels great, looks great, plays great. It's just got that really horrible hub world that we looked at.
Okay.
Art direction, Elden Ring, totally agree. I mean, you know, visually stunning. A lot of the reveals really good. That's great. Score and soundtrack, God of War. I don't really, the music wasn't memorable.
I'm going to put something out here.
Hmm?
I know this was in the past couple, like, was it 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
But Cuphead is excellent music.
Oh, that's like 5 years old now.
Yeah. I mean, Splatoon is good music.
Yeah, everything's got music. I mean, it's...
If it's soundtrack, it's a RPG game, obviously.
Well, soundtrack for me is the sound effects. It's like, what's going on around you. Yeah, no, but
what
you.
They mean is the, well, look, the track of the sound.
Personally, Call of Duty... You know, it's got...
God, you really hate God of War.
No, not that bad. Like, the sound effects in Call of Duty are 100% spot on. Spectacular.
Yeah.
The music is memorable. The music is catchy. It's kind of like a James Bond thing.
Yes, that would be good for sound, but I think slash soundtrack, God of War, or even... did Elden Ring have a good soundtrack?
It's a sympathy vote because he didn't get the best game. Action-adventure, God of War, Ragnarok. No surprises there. No.
Call of Duty campaign.
No. Action Adventure is Elden Ring.
Oh, no, Action Adventure,
see,
yeah.
See, Action Adventure, Elden Ring, or even the... Cyberpunk. No, it's too... It's
I know, long. But I want it to be.
I know, but like, you know, and let's say, you know, the last...
The reason, because it didn't get any good stuff when it came out, because when it came out, it was not good.
The PS5 version of The Last of Us, Action Adventure, you cannot fault that but game.
It's remastered.
Doesn't matter. You cannot fault it. It came out. It was remastered. It was built up from. It rebuilt from the ground up. It is a blow you away action adventure. God of War is not.
Okay. Calm your farm when I say this, but I think
my farm is as calm as a harvest moon.
God of War had more of a storyline, so I'm guessing that's why it deserved action-adventure.
Hang on. God of War had more storyline than The Last of Us Part 1.
No, but...
Let me just run that by you again.
No, because here's the thing. The Last of Us remastered come out in the past 12 months, but it's remastered. It's not a game. It's Game Awards, not Remastered Awards. If there was an award for Best Remastered Game...
Okay, agree to disagree. Would. However, action-adventure in this list... Elden Ring beats God of War. And the reason why is that every single player had a different adventure. Everybody that played in Elden Ring played it completely differently to the next person. Mm-hmm. The options were there. You could do whatever you wanted. I could go out and I could pick something up and head west. You could pick something up and head north. We would have a completely different story. Every single person that's got through God of War has taken exactly the same steps in exactly the same direction, watched exactly the same amount of cutscenes. Because
it's a role-playing game.
It's not a role-playing game. It's a video game that forces you to do the same thing.
Because you're playing the role of a character who followed those
steps. Yeah, but there's no investment in that character.
Okay. How about this? Do you want me to argue about Cyberpunk winning?
No, well, you can't.
It would have. Yeah. No, but I think it had opportunity if it was not you know, bad.
Yeah, wasn't.
Oh, no, if it wasn't bad, when it came out, it was bad, but.
See, Cyberpunk didn't get mentioned in 2021.
No, because it didn't come out then. It came out like 2018.
It did not.
No, when did it come out?
About 18 months ago.
What? No.
What? Yes.
Oh, are you really Googling it? You're really Googling it.
I'm going to Google it to prove to you.
Release date. It's already there.
2020.
So 2 years ago.
Exactly 2 years ago.
Oh my god.
Yeah, not five. To be fair.
But no, I'm just trying to think, because the time it takes to make a series for it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've fixed it.
They fixed it.
That's awesome. Okay, so yeah, that was the Game Awards. Let's look in.
I mean, week. I agree with most of it.
I disagree with some of it.
I get it. The God of Orbit, okay.
Yeah, only five of them.
Out of all the awards, forget it. No.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see what's there next year. Maybe maybe in a couple of months.
Maybe Zelda?
Maybe we'll take a punt. Yeah, Zelda will be there.
Yeah, it will be there. It will be there.
Zelda, definitely. I'm trying to think of anything else that's exciting that's coming out. Spider-Man is going to probably drop at the end of next year. Spider-Man 2.
Mm.
Which will be very exciting because, again, it will be, hey, Spidey. Let's learn all your skills again.
Will it be Spider-Gwen? I need to find out. Is it Spider-Gwen or Spider-Man?
I think it'll be Spider-Man.
Because we did Spider-Man. We did Miles Morales.
It's going to be a Peter carry-on. It's Miles Morales was a branch. You know, like, this is going to be Spider-Man 2.
Miles Morales was good because it added some different spice because you had different abilities.
Yeah, but my point is, you know, you've got Spider-Man, full-on Spider-Man with all the skills and all the gadgets, and then 6 weeks later, it's like, I've forgotten everything, let's start again.
Oh, no, because in Miles Morales, Peter Parker leaves for vacation. That's all he does. It's like the beginning, they're just sitting on a building, chilling.
Hmm.
Then he gives Miles Morales a suit, and then he goes, oh, I'm going to go on vacation. Zips away. And then, of course, all the villains.
So he keeps the web sling.
I don't know. It's either the one that Tobey Maguire has his, like, shoot out of his veins.
Hmm.
I don't know. How would that work? Like Venom Claw? Like, he has, like, holes in there?
Okay. I don't know.
Well.
Anyway, we're probably up for time.
Yeah, we are.
So that was fun.
That was fun.
Yay. We're back.
Game Awards.
We're back. We didn't need another week off. We might have a week off for Christmas, though.
Yeah, because it's Christmas and we have a holiday.
Yeah. Okay. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. Hey, it's my birthday.
The week after next.
My birthday.
Okay.